Thank you for that, ladies. We're in the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter number 39. And our theme this year, of course, being disciples and making disciples. And I want us to understand that. And there's just so many truths in the Bible as you start to look at the Bible that talk about us being strong in our faith and helping others in the faith. And that's really what our theme is about. We want to make sure that we are disciples so that we can help others to become disciples also. On Sunday night, our series we're calling Living Discipleship. It's not a book of the Bible. It's not like Sunday morning when we're being very specific, but it's just different truths that will help us if we apply them in our life that will help to keep us strong or to make us strong so that we can be the disciple that God wants us to be. Last week, we looked at the first one, which we want to avoid being comfortable in our Christianity so that we can be a disciple. Tonight, I want us to see another one, and tonight, I want us to focus in on something that we have to be careful of, because there's dangers in being a Christian, dangers in just really being a human being. We all know and understand that we are sinful creatures. We do. None of us are perfect. I like what J. Vernon McGee used to say. He said that if I knew you like you knew you, I wouldn't waste my time preaching to you. But if you knew me like I knew me, you wouldn't come listen to me. Okay? And there's a little bit of truth. We understand that we must fight sin in our life. We must be very, very careful. When we go soul winning, what's the first thing we talk to people about? The fact that they're sinners. By the way, it's usually not really hard to get somebody to understand that. And so we understand that. All of us have heard stories, if we've been around for a while, or we've had friends who were saved and in church, that for whatever reason, they were good people, but they weren't careful. And they allowed some sin or something to get in their life, and it's messed them up. Okay? And so we understand we have to be very, very careful. By the way, anybody could mess up. You know, it's all, you always see these news stories, somebody does something crazy and kills a couple people, and they talk to his neighbor, and it's like, he does seem like a really good guy. But there was something bubbling inside that no one else knew about. Something going on. Man, how many remember the Subway guy, Jared? Jared was a guy, he used to do all their commercials. I guess when he was in college, he decided to lose weight, and he lost weight by eating Subway. By the way, that's not keto. I don't know how that worked, okay? And they heard about it, and they actually made him a spokesman. How many of you know where Jared is right now? He's in jail because he was involved in horrific sin. Now, he wasn't a Christian, but it was something illegal, and he is in jail. The point is, all of us, if we're not careful, can do things that we don't want to do or things that we would be against because we were not careful. We're very naive if we think that we can be very lackluster in our life when it comes to things that come our way and still live successfully as a Christian. We don't want to be naive. And that's what I want us to see tonight. And when it comes to sin, it's even more complicated because we have a spiritual enemy, Satan. And he wants to take us down, and he'll throw things our way. You read the book of James when it talks about temptation. And so it can mess us up. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what Satan wants to do. Tonight, we're going to see someone who faced that. In December, Gary was teaching in my class, and he was teaching on Life of Joseph, and as I was sitting there trying to stay awake, he was referencing, and he just happened to reference this. And as it sat there and I was looking at the scripture, the thought hit me. Joseph teaches us how to stand against sin. By the way, when we read stories in the Bible and stuff, it's just like, oh, Joseph got through it, yay. No, we have to look deeper. I just made a note to myself, look at that story. And as I started looking at it and studying it, I saw how Joseph stood against sin. And I think that it'll help us. We know the story of Joseph well. His dad kind of loved him more than his other brothers. That's the whole thing with the multiple wives and the baby festival and all the contest and all that. And the brothers didn't like it. And so Joseph is taken by his brothers. They were going to kill him, but one of them talked him into selling him as a slave. He sold to the, I think, Amalekites and Midianites, and they take him into Egypt. And then he is sold immediately to Potiphar. Now, we know Joseph, no matter what situation he was in life, was successful. If you read several times, you hear the word. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. And also, we see how the people that he worked for were prosperous because of him. And so Joseph was a solid guy. But he was in a situation where he could not extradite himself. And so here he is serving Potiphar. And Potiphar sees that everything's being blessed because of Joseph, and he basically says, you handle everything in the house. You're in charge of everything. You can do anything. You make the decisions, and it's all good. But then Potiphar's wife started looking at him. Now you say, well, he should have just quit. He couldn't. He was a slave. He had to be there, and he had to fight this day by day. He did not put himself into a situation. He was put into that situation, but Joseph fought it correctly. And he got through it. There is no way around it. You and I will be faced with temptations to sin. Now, again, I always say, if you put yourself in that temptation, you will mess up. But if things come our way, our flesh wants to up and do something wrong, we can fight it because we are saved. And we can be successful just like Joseph. If we're walking with God and we are seeking to be wise, we have the strength to stand up to any sin, as Joseph did. So tonight I want to look at this. I know sometimes you say, sometimes you go, man, you're preaching at me. I'm not preaching at anybody. I preach to us. Realize this, before you hear the message, I hear the message. Okay, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, this is stuff that I need. You know, and so I think this will be good for all of us tonight. I'm not trying to be tough or mean-spirited, but I think it'll help us if we think the thing through and we look at it. There's two sides where we need to, that there's two sides in the story that had strength. Okay, first of all was the strength of the seduction. And then in Joseph's life, we see the strength to stand. And I want to look at those. We'll look briefly at the first one, and then we'll take a little more time with the second one. So firstly, I want you to see the strength of the seduction. Now, as Christians, I want to assure you up front that no matter if you're not putting yourself in a situation where you're going to sin, violating some of the things we're talking about, if that thought to sin comes your way, you do have the strength to get through it. You do. Okay? Never think that you don't. But the strength, but the seduction to sin that came to Joseph was very, very, very strong. Understand, our spiritual enemy is very good at matching the temptation, matching the sin he wants you to commit to your personality, to your situation. And that's what happened here. I want you to notice the strength of the seduction in a couple areas. First of all, this seduction seemed to be a fulfillment of his need. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things. You know, all the good of the story. Joseph is sold into slave, but he gets to Potiphar. Now he can do anything. Everything, everybody's being blessed. Joseph kind of has free reign. It's all good. And then we get to verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. What do you think would be the strongest temptation to Joseph? Well, let's put ourselves in his place. He was taken from his family. He was taken from everything that he knew. He was placed in a foreign land against his will with no freedoms. He would be lonely. And guess what happened? Here's this lady, and I guarantee you, she was some beautiful, I was going to say something I shouldn't say. She was some beautiful woman, and Joseph walks in the house, and he noticed she's looking at him. Don't you think that fed to that need that he had? That loneliness? Don't you think Satan started, hey, check that out. I think she was looking at you. And Joseph, by the way, did nothing wrong in any of this story. But that was a very strong temptation. He was lonely. He felt abandoned. By the way, why was he lonely from his family? They didn't want him. They threw him out. They were going to kill him. This is his, by the way, you have to understand, this is his first stop after being sold as a slave. He's taken away, boom, and they sell him straight to Potiphar. He must have been a lonely individual. Just about that time comes his master's wife. There's probably a little process here, right? As he's working around the house. Now look, he wasn't blind. He probably, and not in a bad way, but he probably, oh, she's a beautiful woman. You know how that is. He wasn't probably noticed that. Like, oh yeah, that's his wife. And he's working around the house, and it's like, maybe she said hi to him, and then the next time, a little bit more, and then next time, he's walking by, and he's just like, she's looking at me, and then it's going to get more and more bold. Satan tries to feed that to us, that little extra look, but it hit a real need. This is how sin so conveniently portrays itself as something that you need, as something that you are missing out on, that you desperately want and must have. That's why sin is so strong. It always presents itself as, I need this. This is something missing in my life. This is something that will fulfill what's going on in my life. And it's nothing but a lie. It never pays off on that. He may think that he had been lonely, but if he would have given in to her, his needs would not have been fulfilled. He would have been a wreck. So that's how sin always is. How often is our sinful behavior is just getting something that maybe is not wrong, but it's fulfilled at the wrong time or in the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with Joseph being with the lady, but it had to be at the right time. When? When he was married. And in the right way, when? After marriage. Satan throws stuff out and he's trying to, you can bypass this. I mean, after all, no one will know about it. I mean, you kind of run the house. He's not here. She's not going to say anything. Well, the Bible does tell us, be sure your sin will find you out. And so that draw, that's why Satan plays, James tells us, Satan's temptation plays upon our lust. What is that? Our desires. What we think that we have to have. It was also a fulfillment of his pride, verse 7. Came to pass that the master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph. She probably would have been kind of a conquest there. I mean, after all, she's looking at me. I mean, look at all these guys around here. She has this very rich husband, and she likes me, this lowly slave who's making something of himself. Pride. That's really what sin is. We act in our own self-interest. That's sin. And we'll get to that in a minute when we talk about standing against sin. But pride is, I can decide what I want to do. This is what I think is best for me. It kind of drives that. What's the world? The pride of life. Okay? When our pride gets in the way, we decide to do whatever it is we feel that we should do. Pride is the cause of a lot of our sins. Remember King Saul? King Saul, when he was made king, was the most humble man in the kingdom. Where was he when they were going to anoint him king? They had a big party. Everybody came from everywhere. And they're like, hey, go get King Saul. We're going to anoint him king. And it's like, where is he? He was hiding, the Bible says, among the stuff. That's the luggage. All the luggage and the backpacks everybody brought, they loaded it up over here. And they're looking for Saul. And he's hiding. And then when he's king, what happens after they anoint him king? He goes home and goes back to work for his family. But what was his downfall? Once he became king, now he was in charge. Now he's the big shot. And pride came in and it killed him. That always happens. And then it was a fulfillment of his flesh. She said, lie with me. She wanted to be immoral with him. By the way, men, and this is, you could say for women, but that's something you better be very, very careful of. Okay? You can get caught up in all kinds of nonsense if you're not careful. Now, there are certain temptations that are key to, excuse me, different to each people. I always say, if Satan's trying to throw temptations out there, alcohol's not one for me. Before I was saved, I drank. I didn't like it. And I did it because that's just what we did. And every weekend we hung out and that's what we did. But I quit even before I got right with God. I'm like, this is just, I'm done with this. So he's not going to throw that at me. There are certain things that I know that would be a weakness he would throw at me. But I'll tell you one thing. This is a weakness for everybody. It's a weakness for everybody. And it's us getting ourselves to a place where we go too far and we do it and we get involved with what's going on and we're fulfilling the flesh, and you will never be happy fulfilling the flesh. We live in a very immoral society. That's, by the way, that is why, side note here, give me a minute, that's why society is so depraved. See, we got so loose in our morals, now you got to have more. Now it's homosexuality, now it's transgenderism, pornography and so forth, adultery and immorality, and it's just seen as normal behavior. God says it's not normal behavior. It's so abundant. We need to be so very, very, very careful. And by the way, they ridicule us. They ridicule Vice President Pence because he has a rule. Here's his rule. I will not go out to eat alone or be alone with another lady who is not my wife. By the way, we have that. I have that. And by the way, our staff has that. And if they don't have it, they won't be working here very long. Why would we put ourselves in a situation where that would happen? And so what do they do? Like, you're being sexist. You're being anti-woman. No, he's just trying to be safe. And anybody that wants to be moral and right, they want to be safe. Our society frowns down on that. And then when bad things happen, it's like, how'd that happen? Because we're not careful. The flesh is always there. We have to be careful. So the seduction is strong because it feeds our needs, pride, and flesh. But let me just say that. In spite of all of that, that was the perfect, if anything was going to take Joseph down, that's it. And it didn't. Why? Well, because we're going to see number two, the strength of the stand. Now, if Joseph can stand up to sin, so can we. How do we do that? I'm going to give you some thoughts about how we stand against sin, and let's listen to them. I think it'll help all of us. Because none of us in here is immune. Not one of us. We're not. Okay? I hope that I never do anything stupid. I hope I don't sin. I hope I don't wreck my family. But if I don't, it's because I've tried to be careful. It's not because I'm super Christian. And if you don't, it's because you've been careful. What are some of the things I see here? You ready? Let me just give you, there's probably about six or seven. What is the strength of the stand? Well, first of all, there's a determination to refuse. Okay, look at verse 8, first three words. He just throws it out there. But she's like, hey, cowboy, come lie with me. You're so, he's like, but he refused. You know what he said? No. Okay. It's a really good answer to sin. No debate. Now, he said no, and then he told her some reasons why. Because he had to be around her. He had no choice. But he's like, no. I'm not doing it. By the way, you know why we fall sometimes? Because we tell ourselves we're not going to do it, but we think about it in our minds. What does the psalm call that? But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Not if we do iniquity, if we regard it in our heart. Because if we regard it in our heart, it's going to come out in our actions. He just said, no, I'm not doing it. I love Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they're trying to get, if somebody or anything is trying to get you to do wrong, here's what you do. No, not going there. Well, you know, I don't want to be mean to this person. They asked me to do this, and I know it's kind of wrong, but, you know, I don't want to be mean. Don't be mean. Just say no. Well, they might get offended. I would rather have somebody get offended, even if I'm trying to be nice, than to give in to something that's going to cause me to sin. Okay? I'm worried about me. And if I mess up, then I'm the one that's going to pay for it, not them. Just say no. I like the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3. They were told, hey, you got to sit, when you hear the music, bow down. You know, we're going to have the big idol, and you're going to listen to music, bow down with everybody and worship. They didn't do it. So Nebuchadnezzar brings them in and says, tell you what, we're going to have a redo. Music's going to play. You're going to get down on the ground. If not, you're dead. I like how they responded. Verse 16 of Daniel 3 goes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Now understand this, Nebuchadnezzar was a world leader. History tells us he was very cruel. You didn't listen to him, it didn't turn out very well. And the three guys say, basically here's what they say, you know, we should be careful when we talk to you because our life's in our hands, but we're not gonna be careful. Now they didn't say it in a mean way, they said, we're not gonna be careful, we're just gonna tell you the truth. Okay, verse 17. If it be so, now Nebuchadnezzar had said that you better do it because no God will protect you. So they're answering. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They said, you know what? You say God can't deliver us, but if God chooses to, yeah, he can. And either way, we're gonna be done with you. Verse 18, but if not, in other words, we fry. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let me translate that. No way, Jose, we're not doing it. We should be, I'm gonna just tell you the truth. Yes, our God can deliver us if he chooses to, but if he doesn't choose to, who cares? We're not bowing down. Now, how did Nebuchadnezzar take that? Read the chapter. He got mad. He said, fire up the furnace 7 times hotter. It was so hot when they threw the guys in, the guys that threw them in burned up. But you know what they said? No, we're not going to do wrong. That's a good place to be. You don't have to be rude about it, but don't. We're so concerned, and I think sometimes we're not as concerned about what other people think. I think we use what other people think as an excuse. Yes. And we get our own way, and it doesn't work out. Say no. By the way, let me just say this, and we'll move on. I don't want to be here all night, like last week. He basically, like Daniel and the guys, they determined ahead of time. If you wait till a situation arises before you decide whether or not you're going to say no, you've lost the battle. You decide ahead of time. And then when someone asks you, it just comes out really easy. Now, Brother Myers, are you ever going to own a Ford? No. I've decided that a long time ago. Brother Myers, you want to go out for dinner? We're going to go to McDonald's. No. Brother Myers, would you like a cup of coffee? Yes. Okay. See, it's so simple when you decide ahead of time. And that's what he did. He refused. Just say no. Secondly, there was a defense of boundaries. He said unto his master's wife, verse 8, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Now listen to what he's saying here. He says, basically, Mrs. Potiphar, your husband has given me authority to do and act any way I want. There's only one thing that he hasn't given me authority over, you. There's a boundary there. I can't have you, you're his wife. And I'm not crossing that. I know what he's told me I can do, and you're not one of them. Okay, boundaries. You know how you stay away from sin? Know the boundaries. See, what we do, and this is in Christianity, by the way. Now, I know some, they call us, you guys are a little bit too this, that, and the other, and they want to get as close to sin as possible. I keep up with what's going on in Christianity. And there's several pastors, I can tell you, not our type of pastors, drinking's okay, and that seems to be a big thing in Christianity. Let me just tell you this. No, it's not. Okay? Alcohol's bad. Just say no. And there's several of these big-time pastors. It's okay to have a social drink. And they became alcoholics, ruined their marriage. Well, what do you think? We want to get, just social drinking. You've already crossed that boundary. You're wrong. You're out. But we want to, Joseph didn't see, you know, let me flirt around with her a little bit. We just won't go that far. Start flirting, it's over. Boundaries. Hey, look at your life and set boundaries up. Like I mentioned the other one, I'm not going to go out with and eat with a woman who's not my wife alone or even be around her alone because that way, look, if I'm not around a lady alone, I'm not going to do anything wrong with her. Right? I mean, is that just, look, if I was out somewhere and I went over there and my wife was having eating at a restaurant with a couple people, oh, these are just work associates. Listen, it would be a really bad day in that restaurant. Bad day in that restaurant. There'd be dishes flying and there'd be lots of things happening. Because we're not going there. But we have boundaries. By the way, some of us are too loose. I know you're gonna get mad. Don't give kids cell phones. I have to mention that. Like I know Pastor Yusuf always say it, I'm like, I know he's saying it. But don't just let them have unfettered access to technology. I know. Oh, you know, you're just a little bit old fat. No, I'm not. When the iPhones came out, I had one within the first 2 months. I like technology, Brother Pichardo. I use all of it. All of it. Okay? But kids can't handle it. You talk to Brother Chim. Buy him coffee first. Talk to Brother Chim. Kids get in trouble. Something goofy's going on with a kid. You know what's always involved? Technology. Well, my kid needs to call me. Give him a dime. No, you can't do that. There's no such thing as, right? I showed, when we were going on vacation, we pulled over somewhere and they had an old phone booth. I'm like, come here, youngins. I think I had Annie. Like, you know what that is, Annie? She's like, that's what we used to have back when dinosaurs roamed the land. That's how you made phone calls. You put a quarter in, you called somebody. Listen, if they're around the church or there's someone that has a phone that can help them call. And by the way, you teenagers don't like when I say this, but let me just tell you something. I love you. I really don't care. Because I know. Let's be very careful. Boundaries. I'm not going to hang out at places where I know things. Look, I don't go out with people. I'm not going to go out with people that I can't control the thing and I might be put in a bad situation. But you have to have boundaries in your life. Be very, very careful. The closer you get to the boundary, the easier it is to sin. The better the boundary is, the better your chances of getting through this thing. Okay? When you get too close to a boundary, your flesh gets involved, your emotions get involved, your thoughts get involved. It is over. I gave the illustration, but many, many years ago, we don't childproof our stuff. It's like the kids, like, we tell them no, and if they go, they get in trouble. Works. We had a Christmas tree, and here comes Hannah waddling in, the one that sang up here. And she was probably about 2 or 3, and she saw the lights of the Christmas tree, and that means that, you know, they're going to throw the bulbs everywhere, and they're going to break. And I'm like, I'm going to wait. And so she starts waddling up, and I wait till right when she stuck her hand out. I said, no! She's like, I walked over, and I pointed the tree. I said, no, 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 say it. She's like, no, 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 no. We're in. So she takes off. About 10 minutes later, she comes in. She starts going to the tree. I'm like, Hannah, and she looked at me. And she smiled, and she looked at the tree, and the lights got her. It was over. Hannah, no, 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 there was no, 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 no. She went right at that thing. She got mesmerized by what she was seeing. Boundaries, be very careful. I like Romans. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Romans 16:19. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Could it be our children are immoral because they're getting that kind of education in their schools? Do you guys teach that kind of education to your kids? No. Never? Yes. When they're engaged, they come into the office and I give them some things to read and to get ready. They don't need it when they're 12 years old. Well, I was in public school in 5th grade, and we went to a sex ed class. They made our parents sign, and we went in there, and then our teacher was chewing us out because we're using the words we learned in class. And she's like, hey, what are you guys doing that for? I'm like, you taught that to us. Anyhow. Next, what else will keep us from sinning? A destruction of relationships. Joseph understood, because thou art his wife. That was not his relationship. Do you understand that? That was Potiphar's relationship. And if Joseph would have done that, he not only would have ruined his relationship to life, he would have been killed. He ruins that relationship. How often do we sin and we leave relationships obliterated all over the place? We have no thought as to anybody. It's my life. I'll do what I want. This is about me. This is about my happiness. This is about what I want. Let me just say something. That is as selfish as we can get. When I married that lady back there, what happened is everything that happens in my life affects her. Everything. And I'm not going to hurt her. Oh, you know, this is just about me. And what if I start looking at, let's just say, pornography, that affects her. If I start being a knucklehead and I get backslid and start doing my own thing, that hurts her. When I married her, I took that responsibility. And when she married me, she hit the jackpot. She also took a responsibility that anything that affects her affects me. And anything we do affects our children. And anything that we do affects our grandchildren, our in-law, you name it, all of them. If I go out and I'm sinning with other people, I'm not only affecting my family, I'm affecting them and I'm affecting their family. No, I'll just make this thing work out. Selfish, selfish, selfish. Our life affects others when we sin. And we have to look at it and say, these relationships are important. What are we doing that's ruining our marriage? Whether it's flirtation, adultery, pornography, what are we doing that's ruining our children? But it could be something that we don't even see as wrong. You're working so many hours, you're an absentee parent. It's affecting your children. Everything we do affects somebody else. And let's just say this, it affects our Lord too. It affects our witness. And that hurts him. And it hurts everybody else. Let's think about that. When we're tempted to do our own thing, who is this going to hurt? Next, there was a deliberation by questioning. So he says then, how then can I do this? He makes all these statements, which makes you understand that. He says, because of all of these things, I've thought it through, I can't do this. Why don't we question what will happen if we sin? Why don't we question the consequences that will come if we do wrong? But in the moment, we don't think about all that. We're thinking about, oh, Joseph could have thought, she's attractive, she's cute, I'm lonely, no one's gonna know. No, he thought through everything and said, how then can I do this? I can't. I thought it through. Let's think through what's going on. Let me say this. And people, I've sat in my office, I've done this for too long. I have heard people give me every excuse in the world for the nonsense they're doing, and the fact of the matter is, there's no excuse. One time, they ought to just come in and say, I know it's all wrong, I just don't care what God says, and I don't care who I hurt, I'm doing it anyhow. People don't tell us that. They don't think it through. Think it through. What's going to happen? That momentary thing you do has eternal. I guarantee you, if David knew what would have happened in some of the sins he committed, he probably would have thought twice, but he didn't. Next, there's a definition of wickedness. He goes, how can I do this great wickedness? Understand this. If you sin, it's wicked. I made a mistake. You know how come you made a mistake? Because you sinned, which God says is wicked. I had a moment of weakness. By the way, sin is not an illness. It's a choice. You see, I'm addicted to this and I'm doing all this stuff. It's an illness. It's not an illness. It's a choice. Okay? I've talked with people that have been addicted to alcohol, and I've never become addicted to alcohol by catching their illness because I was with them. Never been addicted to pornography because I was trying to help somebody and been close to them who were, it's not an illness. If we don't see it for what it is, then we won't act correctly when we're faced with it. If we understand that it's wickedness and it's wrong and it's sin, then that'll help us to make a better decision when we're deciding to very callously jump in. It's wicked. Next, and this is tough, it's a declaration of war. Think of this. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When we sin, we're going against God. I don't know. Let me just explain this to you. You will not win that battle. We're sinning against a holy God. We're warring against what? By the way, do you understand that? When God tells us there's things we should do and we shouldn't do, God's not trying to take joy from us. God's not trying. God, listen, I'm not the most perfect guy in the world, but I'm glad I've been at least a Christian following God all these years. It's not hurt me in my life. It's not hurt me in my marriage. It's not hurt me with my children. It's not hurt me in any single way. And I don't regret a moment of it. I regret that I didn't get saved earlier. Don't regret a moment of it. And some of you young kids, you think, if I follow God and I do what he wants, I'm losing out. Listen, that's a lie of the devil. That's a lie. God loves you. This is like, look, do you think your parents are against you and they want the worst for you? If you have good parents, they love you and they want the best for you. God is your heavenly parent. He wants what's best for you. And he says, doing that, that's not the best thing. Why are we afraid to follow God's will? We listen to our friends, right? And I'm choosing this career path, and I'm choosing this, and I'm going this way because this person told me, hey, why don't we find out what God wants to tell you? But when we sin, we're sinning against God. I don't want to fight against God. I kind of want him on my side. Numbers chapter 32, 23. But if you will not do so, talking to the 2.5 tribes, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Let me just say this too. Whenever we sin, you never, ever, 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 ever sin successfully. You may get away with it up front, but you're always going to pay in the back end. Never pays off the way you think it will. And it always is hurtful. 2 Samuel 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned. He didn't stop there. I have sinned against the Lord. When he was writing about his sin in Psalm chapter 51, David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. You know, he said, Lord, I've sinned. He didn't just confess that he sinned. He confessed that he sinned against God. Let's think about that next time. Well, you know, the church, you guys have these. We don't. It's the Bible. And when we disobey, we're not disobeying the church. We're disobeying Scripture. When we sin, we're sinning against a holy God. Think about that next time. And then lastly, there's a decision to avoid. So, as I mentioned earlier, Joseph had no choice. He had to be there. Couldn't quit his job. Couldn't ask for a demotion. He was kind of stuck. And this thing was going on day by day by day. And Potiphar's wife, understanding the situation, understanding where Joseph was at, she got bolder and bolder and bolder. And what happened? Verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Here came the perfect opportunity. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. Now remember, before, it wasn't quite to that point. He was telling her, hey, I'm not doing this, and he gave her reasons, but look what he did. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. She grabbed the jacket and said, it's on. And he said, you like the jacket so much, it's yours. I'm out of here. He just bolted. He got himself out of the situation. At that point, it was no longer about his job. At that point, it was no longer about what he was supposed to be taken care of. At that point, it was that wickedness and sin against God. And he said, there's no way I'm going to be involved. And so he fled. Paul told Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Well, he can't follow righteousness if he's not willing to flee. You know, sometimes you just need to get yourself out of situations. You say, well, I work for this boss, and there's things that are coming up, and, you know, the boss is doing this, and he wants me to do this crazy stuff. Get out of there. Well, I might be fired. If that's the only reason to get out, if that's the only way to get out of there, or sin, or violate your conscience or your character, get out of there. Amen, sir. I'm in this situation, and there's another person there at work, and they're kind of being flirtatious. Tell them to drop dead. Don't talk to them anymore. It's very simple. That didn't go over very well. Turn them in. If I was a lady and I'm at work and some guy's going overboard with it, I'd say, number one, I told my husband, he'll be down here to talk to you later. Or number two, you better stop next time going straight to the boss. Just send the email. Hey, I carbon copied that text to the boss. Sent that email to him. I thought he might want to know what you're saying. You say, whoa, 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 that's a little bit hardcore. I would rather do that than sin against God. I'm just telling you, get yourself out. Well, you know, I'm hanging around with some friends, and they started talking. Leave. Very simple. Get out of there. Don't leave yourself in a bad situation. God gives us the grace to get through temptation, but not if we're hanging around it. As soon as it shows, find the door and head for an exit. Sin's a big deal. We need to be very, very careful. The seduction of sin is wrong, but you know what? There's some very simple courses we could take to protect ourselves. And I hope that you're doing that, because any of us can do anything if we're not careful. If we're not careful. I don't want to. I could sit here for 20, 30, 40, an hour, give you horror story after horror story after horror story through the years. You know why? People weren't careful. They just weren't careful. Let's be careful. Let's take this thing seriously. Let's all stand together this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.